ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नॉट ट्रैवलिंग टू साउथ इंडिया एंड दिस वर्स इज वन ऑफ द फर्स्ट वर्स ऑफ द 9th चैप्टर ऑफ मध्य लीला। नाना मत ग्राह ग्रस्तन दाक्षिणात्य जनद्विपन कृपारिणा विमुच्यैतन गौरश्चक्रे च वैष्णवान। सो लॉर्ड चैतन्य महाप्रभु व्हेन ही ट्रैवल टू साउथ इंडिया ही कन्वर्टेड द रेसिडेंट्स ऑफ साउथ इंडिया इनटू वैष्णवास। सो कविराज गोस्वामी इज एक्सप्लेनिंग that the population he faced, the people he was trying to convert, they were caught in the clutches of various kinds of philosophies and theories. Although the people were quite pious, in terms of religiosity, in terms of piety, in terms of following Vedic rituals, the people in South India were quite advanced. They were quite, in one sense, spiritually powerful. They may not have understood the conclusions of the Vedic literatures, but to a great extent, they were following principles of dharma, artha, kama, moksha. So he compares them to huge, powerful elephants. Dakshinatyan Jana Dvipan. So he compares the residents of South India to powerful elephants. In terms of dharma, they were really very powerful like elephants. But the problem was, they were caught by the clutches of the crocodiles of various philosophies. Nana Mata Graha Grastan. So Nana Mata means different philosophies, different theories which they had in their minds, the various kinds of speculative theories, their own opinions. Nana Mata is compared to Graha, crocodile. So when an elephant is caught by the crocodile, however powerful an elephant may be, he cannot move. The elephant is helpless, just as in the story of Gajendra. So therefore, although the people were pious by nature, but still, it was impossible for them to free themselves from the clutches of birth and death, because they were caught by the crocodile of various philosophies. Nana mata graha grastan dakshinatya janadvipan kriparina vimuchyaitan. And in such a case, only one and only one solution exists, and that is, the Supreme Lord personally descends and severs the head of the crocodile with his disc. And therefore Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu released the Sudarshan Chakra of his causeless mercy. He released the Sudarshan Chakra of his Sankirtan movement. And as a result of that, all of these other speculative philosophies were destroyed and cut. Kriparina vimuchyaitan. Vimuchyaitan means free or liberate. And kripa means mercy. And arina means the disc. So by the disc of his mercy, he liberated all of these people from the clutches of the various philosophies and opinions which had them in the grips of material energy. Gauras chakre sa Vaishnavan. So chakra here means converted. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Gaura, he converted them into Vaishnavas. So therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his purpose of traveling to south was mainly to convert people into devotees. And so we find that all the great acharyas, they have always appeared at time when society has been plagued my various kinds of misconceptions. And in 1017 AD, Sripad Ramanujacharya appeared. And he appeared at a time when practically the whole of India was influenced by Mayavad philosophy of Shankaracharya. And people were under the grips of this philosophy, which was just like a crocodile. And Ramanujacharya appeared to demolish this misconception and establish the principles of true Vaishnavism. In fact, to enhance the effect of his preaching, we can see that right at the very beginning during his Leela, he studied under the care of someone who was a Pakka Mayavadi, and that was Yadav Prakash. So Yadav Prakash was a Mayavadi, and he had studied all of the different commentaries of Shankaracharya. He was very powerful in his influence. And Ramanuja was attending school under his care. He was so powerful and influential that even the king knew about the glories of Yadav Prakash. And in fact, Ramanuja, as a young boy, he was a Vaishnava from within his heart, but because he did not have any other shelter, he did not have any other recourse, he was studying under Yadav Prakash. So once it so happened that the princess of the king, the daughter of the king, the princess, she was under the influence of a ghost. And this ghost was a kind of Brahmarakshas. The king had heard about the power of Yadav Prakash, that apart from being a very powerful scholar, he also had a reputation for being a very powerful ghost buster. By chanting various mantras, he could drive away ghosts. So Yadav Prakash was called, and he was brought in presence of this princess. And Yadav Prakash, as usual, started chanting the mantras to drive away the ghost. And after chanting the mantras, he proclaimed to the ghost within the body of the princess, "O ghost, get out of the body of this princess immediately." But the ghost was not an ordinary ghost, he was a powerful Brahmarakshas. He replied back, "O Yadav Prakash, you get out of this city." And Yadav Prakash was totally bewildered because he had never found that any time his mantra had failed. And again he chanted few mantras. But in spite of all of his chanting, this ghost was simply retorting back and replying back to Yadav Prakash. And then the ghost told Yadav Prakash, "It is impossible for you to drive me out. And the reason is that you also, in a previous age, were a Brahman, and then you committed some offense to other devotees, because of which you had become a rat. You had become a rat in your previous life, and you were living in a tank near Madhurantakam. And some devotees were passing by, and they had thrown off remnants of prasadam. And by tasting these remnants of prasadam, you have the opportunity to take birth again as a Brahman. But because of your previous sinful reactions, you are still under the influence of this Mayavad." And saying like this, the ghost proclaimed to the king that, "My dear king, if you really want to help your daughter, then get Ramanuja. And he is a really pure Vaishnava." And so the king sent for Ramanuja. And right in front of Yadav Prakash, who was supposed to be his guru, Ramanuja came and placed his feet on the girl's head. And the Brahmarakshas who was there within, he just left the body. And so from a very young age, Ramanuja became very famous, even in very high circles, as a very powerful spiritual personality. In fact, Yadav Prakash became so envious to see the increasing reputation of Ramanuja that he went to the extent of conspiring and even trying to kill Ramanuja. But Ramanuja had the protection of the Supreme Lord, and somehow he was not influenced by all these attacks. And therefore we find that in history, practically any bona fide devotee who has tried to establish the principles of pure Vaishnavism has always faced persecution, has always faced opposition. And preaching has never been simple and easy. And although Ramanuja is one of the empowered acharyas whose name is mentioned even in Padma Puran, that he will be one of these acharyas who will establish Vaishnavism, but still we find that he had to face so much opposition. So Ramanuja, after somehow escaping from the clutches of Yada Prakash, of course he wanted to convert him, but he found that the time was not ripe. He wanted to give his mercy to Yada Prakash, but he realized that right now he is not ready to receive this mercy. So Ramanuja found out a great Vaishnava in Kanchipuram whose name was Kanchipurna. Kanchipurna was not born in a Brahmin family. He was born in a lower caste. But he had such a deep affection and such an intimate relationship with the deities at Kanchipuram, Varadaraj Perumal, that the Lord would personally speak to Kanchipurna and express his desires. And Kanchipurna would have dialogue with the Lord to the extent that once Kanchipurna left Kanchipuram and went to Tirupati to perform service to the Lord there. And this was the summer season. And after Kanchipurna had spent 2 months in Tirupati, Varadaraj Perumal personally appeared in his dream, appeared to him and said that you have left my service and gone to Tirupati, and it is summer season, and the new pujari whom you have appointed to take care of me does not know how to use the peacock tail fan, and therefore he is not offering proper air to me, and so I am feeling too hot, and therefore I request you come back and take care of me, otherwise it is so difficult to tolerate this summer without your association. This was the kind of relationship Kanchipurna had with the Lord. But we can see the foolishness of this conception that ultimately qualification is based on birth. And this was the kind of misconception even Ramanuja's own wife at that time, whose name was Rakshambal, she carried within her heart. And she felt that this Kanchipurna is not born in a Brahmin family and therefore not very elevated. And she had an offensive mentality within her heart. And Ramanuja was very eager to take shelter of Kanchipurna. And he would approach him again and again, request him that please give me shelter at your lotus feet. But Kanchipurna would always declare that it is not possible for me because I am not so advanced. Out of his natural humility, he would never accept this. So once Ramanuja decided, and this was after Ramanuja had failed to take direct shelter of Yamanacharya because Yamanacharya had already left the body by the time Ramanuja reached. So he approached Kanchipurna and requested that you please come to my home and honor Prasadam. And actually Kanchipurna in one sense knew that Ramanuja is going to invite me. He already understood this because Ramanuja was very eager to take shelter. So Ramanuja made all the preparations and on the appointed day he told his wife, prepare all the items, I'm going to call Kanchipurna. And Kanchipurna was very embarrassed because he felt that he is not so qualified to honor Prasadam along with Ramanuja. So when Ramanuja went to call Kanchipurna, Kanchipurna left his home knowing that Ramanuja is on the way, and he took another path and came straight to the house of Ramanuja when he was not present. So Ramanuja had gone to call Kanchipurna and Kanchipurna was now in Ramanuja's home. And Ramanuja's wife, Rakshambal, she was bewildered and she told him that you are supposed to come after some time, and when my husband is here, My husband is not even here. What do you expect me to do? And he said, I'm very hungry. I have a very important service for the Lord. And I would really appreciate if you give me prasad now. So Rakshambal was confused. But anyway, she served out to Kanchipurna whatever was prepared. So Kanchipurna, he honored the prasadam, took the leaf plate, threw it at a distance, and then washed and wiped the entire place in which he had taken prasad very thoroughly, so that not a trace of any remnant or any particle remained. And the whole intention of Ramanuja's inviting Kanchipurna was, somehow he wanted to taste the remnants of such a great devotee. And then Kanchipurna, after honoring prasad, he just left before Ramanuja came. And Ramanuja was on his way back because he found that Kanchipurna was not there. In the meantime, his wife Rakshambal, she felt that this is a low-class person. He is not very elevated because he is not born in a Brahmin family. And therefore, it is below dignity for Ramanuja, who is born in such a high-class Brahmin family, to honor prasadam which has been cooked for Kanchipurna. So whatever remnants were there in the pots, she just took all of it and distributed it to some Shudras, and then came back, took a bath and started cooking again. In the meantime, Ramanuja returned and was aghast to see that his wife is still cooking. And he said, you were cooking for such a long time, what are you cooking now? And she explained what she just did. And Ramanuja was very, very angry and upset, because he did not expect this kind of a behavior from his own wife. And this was the first folly which his wife did. And that was commit a great offense to a devotee of the caliber of Kanchipurna. She was judging Kanchipurna based on birth. And because of this, she had a critical mentality and she was offensive. So therefore, to offend the devotee of the Lord is very horrible crime. And to get the association of devotee is very, very rare. And if we simply get the association of a devotee, irrespective of what his background is, if he's following the principles of Krishna consciousness strongly and is elevated, then one must be eager to accept his shelter. So Rakshambal committed this grave error, this major mistake. Then Ramanuja decided to take shelter of another of very great devotees whose name was Mahapurna. And Ramanuja met Mahapurna when Mahapurna was sent by Yamunacharya's son to come and invite Ramanuja to come all the way from here, from Kanchipuram to Srirangam. And he had met them on the way. And Ramanuja was very desperate to accept his shelter, because he felt that because he had delayed taking shelter of Yamunacharya, Yamunacharya had left the body. And he did not want to take chance again. So they met under a tree at Madhurantaka, midway between Kanchipuram and Srirangam. And Ramanuja requested that, please give me initiation right now under this tree. And so Mahapurna lit up the fire and gave initiation to Ramanuja right there. And then Ramanuja invited both Mahapurna and his wife to come and stay with him at his home. So Mahapurna was staying with Ramanuja in his own home. He had been given a separate room. And Ramanuja was taking real good care of his guru and his wife. But again, his wife Rakshambal was not very happy. She felt that Mahapurna is also not coming from a very high class family. And she was having this bitter feeling in her mind. And she started picking up quarrel with Mahapurna's wife. And once, when Mahapurna's wife was taking out water from the well, and few drops of water fell in the pitcher, where Ramanuja's wife Rakshambal was taking out the water. And Rakshambal, she just blew in rage and started chastising Mahapurna's wife, calling her ill names. And she said that you are coming from a low-class family and the water from your pitcher has fallen on this pitcher of mine and therefore my pitcher has become contaminated and it is unfit for worship. And she insulted her so badly, Mahapurna's wife came back and reported to Mahapurna. And Mahapurna said that maybe it is the Lord's indication that we have stayed too long here. And maybe we should return back. And so without informing Ramanuja, Mahapurna just left home along with his wife. Ramanuja returned back. And he found to his surprise that Mahapurna was no longer there. And on that day, Ramanuja had a great plan of worshipping his guru with all kinds of paraphernalia. And he had brought various kinds of cloth, fruits, garlands to worship Mahapurna. But when he found that Mahapurna was not there, he was very disturbed. He asked his wife, what happened to Mahapurna and his wife? And his wife Rakshambal twisted the whole story. And she said, I don't know, this Mahapurna seems to be a strange kind of a person. Suddenly, he became very angry with me, saying that I'm insulting his wife. And I requested them, please stay on for some more time. And he just chastised me, saying that we do not want to stay in such people's homes. And they just left. So I do not know what is the reason, but it seems they were not very happy here. But Ramanuja can understand what must have transpired. And he became very, very angry with his wife. And he said that you are such a low-class woman that such a great devotee as Mahapurna has been insulted by you. But he did not say any further, but in a fuming rage he just left the home. And he went to the temple of Varadaraj. And he was praying intensely to the Lord to help him. And at that time, a Brahmin beggar came to the home of Ramanuja. So already Ramanuja's wife had committed two grave errors, two offenses. First, she had offended Kanchipurna, and secondly, she had offended Mahapurna. And now when this Brahmin beggar came, he requested some food, and she was already in so much anger, she just chastised this beggar. And this Brahmin beggar just left the home and came to Ramanuja and said, I went to your home and it is the duty of householders to offer food to beggars. And I just requested your wife, give me some food. And she said, we have no food, you get lost. Is this the kind of behavior which is expected from the house of a Brahmin? And when Ramanuja heard this, that this was the kind of mistreatment, an offense committed towards a Brahmin, he was very disturbed. And this he considered to be the third folly of Rakshambal. And he took a decision that this is the time I'm just going to renounce family life and become a sannyasi. So he just told the beggar that, okay, I'm just going to give you a letter. Just hand this letter over to my wife. So the beggar went to the home again. And Ramanuja's wife was there. And she looked at the beggar and chastised him again. Why you have come again? I just drove you away. And he said, no, I brought this letter. And she took the letter. And in the letter, it was written that it was as if Rakshambal's father had written the letter. And in the letter it was written, my dear, it was a letter addressed to Ramanuja. And my dear son-in-law, please send our daughter home. Because there is a marriage in our family and we need the services of our daughter. So Rakshambal was very happy that, oh, father has called. So when Ramanuja returned back, in fact, she offered all kinds of nice foodstuffs and drinks to this Brahmin beggar whom she had chastised before. And then sent him away. And when Ramanuja returned, she just said, I have received this letter. Please read what it is. And Ramanuja said, your father is calling you and I think you must go immediately. She was very happy from within And she said, actually I would love to serve you here, but since you are ordering me to go, I have to go. And she just left, not knowing what is going to happen. And once she left, Ramanuja immediately went to the market, right outside this temple of Varadaraja. And there was saffron cloth available. In that age, saffron cloth was available freely in the market. She purchased this saffron cloth, and then took that cloth, went in front of the deities, and accepted the renounced order of life. And in this way, he dedicated himself completely to the task of preaching the glories of the Lord in all the directions. So at this stage, Ramanuja started accepting disciples. And one of his first disciples was a very powerful scholar whose name was Dasharathi. And Dasharathi was very, very renowned for being a scholar, and he was also a sannyasi. And once he approached Ramanuja and he said that, I have a question. And he said, I want to know the meaning of this verse, Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Raja. And Ramanuja said, you go and beg in different houses for 1 year and come back, and then I'll reveal to you the answer. That was the standard of answering questions in that period. That one question, and he said, go and become a beggar and come back, and then I'll answer. And Dasharathi, he did for a few days and came back and said, but this question is really bothering me, and I would be really grateful if you answer. And Raman said, it's a very difficult query. You go to one of my other gurus, and he requested him to go to Goshtipurna. And so Dasharathi, under the instructions of Ramanuja, went to Goshtipurna. And Goshtipurna did not even ask him why he has come. As soon as he came, he just said, okay, engage in this service. And immediately put him in the service of the mutt. And after 6 months, Goshtipurna asked him, okay, why did you come here in the first place? So he said, I had this question. I want to know, what is the meaning of this verse, Sarva Dharman Parityajya? And Goshtipurna said, very difficult query. I do not have the answer. Only Ramanuja can answer that. Go back to him. So after spending 6 months serving there, without getting an answer, again he returned back. And again he approached Ramanuja. And he said, I did not get the answer to this question. At that time, Kanchipurna's daughter, whose name was Atulai, she had just come back from her in-law's home. And she was reporting to Ramanuja that my in-laws, they engage me in so much of menial service. I have to go and bring water for 6 miles. I have to cut vegetables, cook, clean the home, take care of the children. And it is becoming so difficult for me that I just requested my mother-in-law if I could have a domestic servant. And my mother-in-law replied, if you want a domestic servant, go to your father's house and get one. We are not going to supply any domestic servant. So I have come here to my father's home so that I can get some servant. Ramanuja looked at Dasharathi, and he looked at Atulai again, and he said, you want a domestic servant? I have a very good domestic servant. Here he is. And Dasharathi was such a powerful scholar, sannyasi, and he was being told to become the domestic servant in the home of a lady. And you can imagine what a grave test this was. What a severe test Ramanuja was subjecting Dasharathi to. And he just told him, you go and become servant in this home. And if any ordinary person now is subjected to this kind of test, it is practically impossible to take such a test. Dasharathi could have just said, okay, I am leaving your mission, I am going somewhere else. You are mistreating me. I am not being taken care of well. You are misunderstanding me. And generally, the tendency of people who are intelligent is somehow to escape authority. And the general tendency is that, okay, if I cannot get things done like this, let me go here. If I can't get things done here, let me go here. So generally, with intelligence, one has a tendency to use that intelligence to somehow avoid surrendering and find ways and means by which he can find some shelter where he will not be forced to surrender. And that is one of the biggest traps of the intelligence. And therefore, Vaishnavism means to follow the principles of surrender and using one's intelligence on how to surrender. So generally in Kali Yuga, the intelligence is used to ask question, why should I surrender? Whereas real principle is that after understanding the principle, we try to use the intelligence to execute how to surrender. What are the ways and means by which this particular task can be done? So therefore, Dasharatha also had a choice. He had parallel lines of authority because Ramanuja had so many other gurus also. And he could have left Ramanuja at that time and felt that this person is too difficult to deal with. And therefore it is better for me to go back to Goshtipurna, because at least for 6 months he kept me in the mud and only said that I can't answer the question, but didn't give such a service of going to someone's house and being domestic servant. Let me go back there again. So he had all possible choices in that scenario. But the real test was that when Ramanuja put the pressure, he didn't buckle under that pressure. He didn't become disloyal. He just maintained his loyalty and he just said, I will follow whatever you say. Similar case we find in Jiva Goswami also. That although Jiva Goswami was the greatest scholar in history, but when put to test, put to the acid test, when he was put to that ultimate test by Rupa Goswami, and Rupa Goswami felt that Jiva Goswami acted improperly, and he gave him an order, leave Vrindavan. This is not a place for people with false pride. So he was in one sense thoroughly misunderstood, and he could have felt that I have not been understood properly, and he could have left. But Jiva Goswami just took that instruction and with humility spent his time. And then when again accepted by Rupa Goswami on the plea of Sanatana Goswami, came back and continued the service without any grudge, without any feeling of bitterness within his heart. And therefore, to understand bhakti, we have to appreciate this principle. Because ultimately the soul has come to the material world because of rebellion against Krishna. And one can only sustain his life in the spiritual world when one is willing to absolutely follow whatever Krishna desires. And therefore the principle of devotional service begins with the willingness to surrender. And one can only get the practice for surrender under the shelter of a living representative. Because Krishna does not have the power to give us direct instructions in his deity form or in any other form. And therefore the representatives of the Lord, they apply the test on behalf of the Lord to check whether the person is ready to enter into the spiritual world where this kind of principle is the standard. And here, when Ramanuja applied that test to Dasharatha, with all of his intelligence, with all of his scholarship, rather than feeling offended, he just accepted it as the will of the Lord. And because he had affection for Ramanuja, he just accepted it. And then he just went to Atula's home. And he was just performing all the menial activities in home. And for someone who had been respected as a sannyasi, it is practically unimaginable. Cooking, cleaning, taking care of the home, just because Ramanuja had said. A very, very high standard, a very high degree of surrender, which we can only feel inspired by hearing. And then, it so happened that after a few months, there was a scholar who visited the home, visited the village. And this scholar was making a presentation. And while presenting, there was a tinge of Mayavad in his speech. And because Dasharathi was a trained Vaishnav sannyasi scholar, he could detect this immediately. And although he was dressed as a cook, and he was just sitting and hearing this lecture along with so many others, he just could not resist himself. He just could not remain quiet. Immediately he got up and he started defending Vaishnava philosophy and started attacking this person. And he made objection that what you have just spoken is Mayavad, is not correct, it is not according to the conclusions of Vedic literatures. And the scholar was bewildered. And he saw his dress and he thought that this man is a cook. And he said, this is an arena for scholarly debate. This is not a kitchen. Shut up and sit down. But then, Dasharathi did not keep quiet. He continued ahead, made more presentations and defended himself. Made his point. Then the scholar understood, this cannot be an ordinary cook. He came down, offered his obeisances and said, who are you? You cannot be an ordinary cook. How come you are presenting philosophy so clearly? And then Dasharathi revealed that actually my name is Dasharathi and I am the servant of Ramanuja. And at that time, the people, they had heard of Dasharathi as a great devotee, a disciple of Ramanuja. But because there was no photograph or internet, nobody had seen the picture of Dasharathi, that this is how Dasharathi looks. So when they heard this is Dasharathi, all of them became scared. And especially the members in Atulai's house, they were practically shivering. And they said, if you are a sannyasi, what are you doing at our home? Doing all kinds of menial household duties at our home. And Dasharathi said, what to do? My Guru Maharaj, Shripad Ramanuja, he just wanted to test me. So he has sent me to your home. I asked him a question about surrender, and this was his answer. So Atulai's all family members started saying, you may be having something between guru and disciple, but why you're involving us? Because by engaging you in our service, we will go to hell. They said, we will certify to Ramanuja that you already passed this test. Allow us to take you back. So they all arranged a palanquin, and in a big procession, he was brought back to Ramanuja. And they all declared to Ramanuja that, please, your disciple is very, very glorious. He has passed the test. He's completely surrendered. Please accept him back. So Ramanuja was very pleased with Dasharathi. And because of this surrender, and because of the attitude of service which he had shown, Ramanuja said that from this day onwards, Dasharathi will also be known as Vaishnava Das, the servant of all the Vaishnavas. And he glorified him immensely. And then, when Ramanuja and some of his disciples, just to show the power of Dasharathi, when Ramanuja was taking his disciples on a tour in one of the interior villages, so they came to the middle of a forest, and there was a group of Shaivite tribals who were staying there. And the other disciples informed Ramanuja that this village is inhabited by Shaivites and it is practically impossible to convert them. So that night, when everyone took rest, Ramanuja brought Dasharathi along with him And he brought him to a lake which was on the bank of this village. And he told Dasharathi that you place your feet inside the water. So he took Dasharathi's feet and placed it inside the water of that lake. Because that was the lake from which all the villagers, they would take water. They would drink their water. And once the feet was out, Ramanuja said that now this whole lake has become your Charanamrit. So whoever drinks this Charanamrit will become influenced. So other disciples were telling Ramanuja, let us go and try to preach to these villagers and make them Vaishnav. Ramanuja said, no need. Just wait here for a few more days and see the miracle. And within a few days, simply by drinking that water, gradually one by one the villagers started coming to Ramanuja and said, we want to surrender to you. And that was the influence of the Charanamrit. So this is the power of Charanamrit of great devotees. So Ramanuja tested Dasharathi, and when Dasharathi passed the test, Ramanuja was pleased with him, and now he was glorifying him for all time to come, that this is the power of a Vaishnava. So we find that Ramanuja was surrounded by devotees who were of such a high caliber, and Ramanuja was establishing the principle that simply by taking shelter of a Vaishnava in any shape or form, one can progress in Krishna consciousness. And that is the only way one's mind can be transformed, one's heart can be transformed by the influence and power of devotee. And in fact, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, when he was about to embark on the tour of South India, he also established this principle that without the mercy of Vaishnava, nothing is possible. And although I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead, still, if I have to do something, then I need the mercy and blessings of devotees. And therefore, he was seeking the blessings of all the Navadvip Vasis in Jagannath Puri that bless me so that I can go to South India and find Vishwarup, my brother. But in one sense, Vishwarup had already gone back to Godhead. And Lord Chaitanya knew about this. So Kaviraj Goswami says that Vishwarupa Siddhi Prapti Janina Sakal Dakshina Desha Uddharite Kurin Eichhal. Although Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew, Janina Sakal, he knew that Vishwarupa had already left. But still, why did he say like this? Dakshina Desha Uddharite, because he wanted to deliver the provinces of South India. Therefore, he resorted to speaking like this, although in one sense it could be considered a chal, an untruth. But this was the purpose. He wanted to deliver. And he wanted to travel alone. And because he wanted to travel alone, he decided to give the plea of some family affair. Because if you say that I am going for some satsang or preaching program, many people want to come. But if you say I want to go to solve some family problem, everyone will say, okay, you have our blessings. Please go and come back. Nobody wants to get involved in family matters. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to go alone. And also, Nityanand Prabhu and others, they offered that we can come with you. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not accept them. And he just said that, I would rather go alone because I want to follow all the principles of sannyas dharam very strictly. Iha sabara vasha prabhu hoyaya gune dosharopa chale kore guna aswadane. So it appeared that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was criticizing his intimate devotees by saying that you have this tendency, you have that tendency, you offer me objects of sense gratification, Nityanand Prabhu acts like avadhut and things like that. But the main principle Lord Chaitanya was establishing that he comes under the control of his devotees to such an extent that he even stops following the rules and regulations of sannyas. And because he wanted to preach, he wanted to set the example of a sannyasi perfectly. And therefore he felt that going to south and facing all of these conditions, souls for whom I have taken sannyas, under the influence of my intimate associates, I may be forced to give up some of these rules, and that would not be very good for preaching. And therefore, he established this principle that sometimes to spread the mission of the Lord, one may even have to keep away from intimate associates. So although he was surrounded by intimate associates from Navadvip in Jagannath Puri, but because he had a very important mission, and the presence of the intimate associates would not be favorable in furthering the mission, therefore he preferred to travel alone. And in fact, at that point, Nityananda Prabhu, he volunteered, he said that, "My dear Lord, we would be chanting with one hand and with your other hand you would be counting. So definitely you need someone to travel with you to carry all your clothes and other things." And Prabhupada mentions in the purport that this verse reveals the fact that chanting of the Hare Krishna is done according to proper count. Nityananda Prabhu is establishing this. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted this. And then, after taking permission from all of his intimate elevated associates from Navadvip, Lord Chaitanya goes to the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So Lord Chaitanya travels from Navadvip to Jagannath Puri in January. In February, he sees the Dola Yatra there. In March, he has a debate with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and converts Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And in April, this conversation is going on. He's taking permission of all the intimate associates. And Lord Chaitanya travels in May to South India. Right. And our South India Yatra is going in June, following in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya in May and June. So this was exactly the time when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was seeking permission of all of his associates. So in one sense, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was a Pakkamayavadi till March, 1 month before. And in April, 1 month later, Lord Chaitanya is going and seeking his blessings and permission. So in one sense, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is a 1 month old bhakta. He has been converted just 1 month back. But Lord Chaitanya is taking his blessings. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu approaches him and requests from him that please also give me blessings so that I can travel. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya says, "Bahu janmer punya phale paye tumar sanga. Hena sanga vidimora karile kabhanga." After millions and millions of lives of accumulating piety, I have obtained your association, my dear Lord. And somehow by my misfortune, I am going to lose that association. And for me, your association is so valuable, so important, I am so attached to you, that shire vajrapad yadi putra mari jaye, taha sahi tomar vichyad sahana nayaye. It is possible for me to tolerate a thunderbolt falling upon my head. Shire vajrapadi. If thunderbolt falls on my head, that I can tolerate. Or putra mari jaye. Or if my son dies, that I can tolerate. But to tolerate separation from you is impossible. So the Lord agrees. Said, "Okay, what do you want me to do?" So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya says, "Stay with me 1 more week and honor prasadam." So Lord stays. And then after 1 week, he again approaches Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and says, "Okay, do I have your permission?" So the Lord is demonstrating by his example how much important it is to accept the mercy and blessings of Vaishnavas. Sometimes we calculate, he is not so senior, he just come and I have only made him devotee, brought him into the movement, so why do I need to take blessings from him or, you know, accept anything from him? So that is according to our neophyte calculation. So we are not able to appreciate this and it is very difficult. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just 1 month back, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was a Mayavadi. And it is not that Lord Chaitanya is just going to him for formality. That, "Okay, I am going to South India, Sarvabhauma. Take care of yourself, don't become Mayavadi again. I am going." And then he is living like that. He is from the core of his heart expressing this. So that is the ideal character which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is demonstrating. Then after 1 week he is satisfied, then Sarvam Bhattacharya gives permission. And all these devotees from Navdeep and Sarvam Bhattacharya come to the deities of Lord Jagannath. And then the Lord prays to Lord Jagannath and seeks his blessings and permission. And so the pujari comes and brings the mala and offers to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Agya mala pana harshe namaskara kori anande dakshina deshe chale gaur hari. So agya mala, that garland which the pujari brings from the Lord and offers, that is accepted as the permission given by the Lord. So harshe namaskara kori, with great bliss Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offers his obeisances, namaskar, to the Lord. And then he starts his travel to South India. So in this way, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu seeks the blessings of elevated devotees from Navadvip, who were like eternal associates, and many of them were in the manifest Leela also always Vaishnavas. And then he is accepting the blessings of Sarvam Bhattacharya, who in this Leela he manifests as a Mayavadi for a long time and just got converted. And then he is also seeking the blessings of the deities. And thus establishes that only with the mercy and blessings of Vaishnavas and by serving the Vaishnavas, any kind of transformation is possible on a personal level, and one gets the strength, the Shakti, to transform others in this preaching mission. Krishna Shakti Vina Nahi Tara Pravartan. So Ramanujacharya is also one of these acharyas who established the principle of Vaishnav Seva. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted this principle of Vaishnav Seva from Sripad Ramanujacharya. And therefore Srila Prabhupada also, in following in the footsteps of these acharyas, established ISKCON and created a facility where we could render service to devotees in a very wonderful, organized manner. And we are very, very grateful to His Divine Guru Srila Prabhupada that He has created this setup where automatically, as soon as a person comes in contact with the mission, whether he knows it or not, in some way he is doing Vaishnava Seva. And because of continuously doing for many years, it may become mechanical. And we may just see our names on the schedule. And we may think, okay, our name is there on the schedule, or our name is not there on the schedule. You know, and things may become very scheduled. But actually, the inner principle is that we are getting a chance to be a servant in this society. Servant of Vaishnavas, servant of all devotees. And this is the highest, supreme most principle being established by all the great acharyas. Jai Shripad Ramanujacharya ji ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Tai Gaur Premanande.